Chingity ching, hee haw, hee haw.
Stop.
Dominic the donkey.
Not now. Dominic can wait.
Hee haw.
Welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for November 28th or 29th. I don't know when you're putting this up.
Yeah, usually the next day.
Yeah, 29th then. This is Mike Minotti, joined by my brother AJ.
Hey!
How's it going?
Good. Did you have a nice Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy because, like, I had so much to do every day. I mean, socially. Like,
right. You know, good things.
Like, you know, don't pity me, but it was, like, a lot of running around.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing all these people and having fun with them. That was good. Good seeing people. Except for Andy Porter. I know he's listening. I didn't like seeing you.
No one likes that guy.
Lol. But no, it was good. How about you? I mean, I saw you some of the time.
Yes.
I don't know if you had fun the rest of the time. Probably not, since I wasn't there.
Yeah, it was better.
No.
I mean, worse. No. Oh, no.
So, we got some things to talk about.
A lot of games.
Which is a classic. Pokemans. Let's go. They're going. What do you want to talk about first?
Let's start with the Pokemans, because you failed me, Mike Minotti.
Failed
me. Or actually, maybe you served me a purpose, because you lowered my expectations for this game.
Look, I did not like it at E3, okay? Because they made me use that stupid ball, and I'm telling you right now, the encounter rate was turned up, skyrocketed for E3. It must have been, because I was, like, stuck in the Viridian Forest. I couldn't move without touching a goddamn Caterpie, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I actually like this game.
This game is so fun.
Damn it, I like it.
So, because on paper, because one thing that hasn't changed, what you talk about is, you know, you don't fight the wild Pokemon. That's what you sound like. You only capture them.
It's always so flattering when people do an imitation of my voice. it's helped my self-esteem so much throughout the years.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, so it's like, in my head, I was like, well, that's terrible. They're dumbing down the game. It's for babies. And then, like, the day before I got the game, because I rented it from Gamefly. They shipped it to me the day it came out, so I had to wait till Monday to play it. I was thinking, I go, wait a minute. Why do I want to fight wild Pokemon for? Either they're comically low level, and I just kill them in one shot, and I'm wasting my power. Or I have to play this stupid dance or trying to get its stats down and low health, which I guess is, like, part of the challenge of it, and catching it. But let's face it. You know, when you see a Slowpoke, is it really that hard to catch a Slowpoke?
Yeah. I mean, I guess when I thought about this, too, I kind of forgot how many trainer battles there are.
There's a ton.
There's still plenty of fighting.
Yeah, like going through, like, a dungeon, like Sylph Company. You're still fighting a lot of stuff. I'm still, like, using items because I'm low on health and attack power.
It's actually very nice, like, go through, like, the Rock Tunnel and Mount Moon and just, you know, if you see a Pokemon you want, it's running around, you can go touch them.
When there's those fucking gold bats everywhere, you just skirt right by.
Right, it is, like, I am surprised how much I like that. Because I thought I won it. I thought it was, like, the main thing, like, this is going to be stupid. And it's fine. It's nice.
Well, then you were all worried, too, because, like, the first gym, like, he wouldn't let you in to Brock's gym unless you had a water or grass type to fight Rock. But, like, every gym doesn't do that.
No. I mean, for, like the second gym's like, do you have a Pokemon at least this level? I mean, look, it's clearly doing a bit of hand-holding, but it's not as obnoxious as I thought it would be. And the other thing, too, is that this game, like, I guess I was trying to diagnose what it is about, like, Sun and Moon and X and Y that has kind of made me, like, drift away from the Pokemon games, and I guess I told myself, like, it's just that they're not, like, I don't know, engrossed, they're not, like, complicated enough or something. And it's, I don't know if it's the opposite per se, but it seems like there's just so much fat that has accumulated on these games now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Pokemons have to hold an item, and also you have an underground base, maybe, and give them a Z attack move, and don't forget to check in with your fashion show and all these things.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
it was too much.
And now that's stuff. And it's like in Sun and Moon, like, you walk 10 minutes. First off, the beginning is so slow because there's just all this people talking to you and it's boring and stupid. And then, like, every 10 minutes, there's a tutorial for some new, like, subsystem or mini game thing. This game, like, you know, it's kind of like Ritual Red and Blue and that. It just goes.
Yeah.
It just goes. You just start playing. And plus, I mean, there is also the nostalgia factor. Like, I liked Red and Blue a lot when I played the game when I was 12. And I'm like, yeah, this is like Red and Blue again. This is fun.
Right? Also, it kind of gets back to the whole idea of catching Pokemon being the main hook of the series.
Yeah, they almost kind of push that as being more important than like beating the Elite Four. It's almost like, catch them all. But, yeah, so it is actually...
And there's actually, there's a ton of depth to it when you kind of, if you want to.
Or with, like, the attack,
well, so,
the combat
so,
power.
Well, not even that. So, like, there's the whole idea of capture chaining. See, yeah. I was in the weeds on YouTube today, so I'm an expert now.
I see.
So, as you capture the same Pokemon over and over, you do a few things. You increase the likelihood of that Pokemon appearing. You increase the likelihood of all rare Pokemon appearing. As your chain grows, you get more guaranteed perfect stats on the Pokemon, up to a total of 4 of 6.
How do you know if they're perfect stats?
Did you get the judge thing yet? Yeah. Eventually, you'll talk to one of Professor Oak's assistants, and as long as you caught like 45 Pokemon, he gives you the judge ability.
No.
When you're in like the stats screen, you push a button. It's just it's like in Pokemon Go. Their judge is like okay, good, great, and amazing.
I see.
You can see their like percentage spread. But yeah, so it maxed out at 31. So once you've got a chain of 31, you don't need to keep capturing if you're trying to get like shinies.
What an arbitrary.
I know. Because like that increases shinies, it increases rares. Like you can get like the legendary birds in the wild after you beat the Elite Four, apparently.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Aren't there just supposed to be one of each? Isn't that the point? Now it's bad.
Yeah. Lore is ruined. So yeah, like today or last night and today, I've been trying to get to like a good Scyther. First, it took me 3 hours of staying in the one area where they appear, and I had like super lures turned on, and I caught like 50 Glooms because I was just trying to keep a high chain, but I was also like leveling my Pokemon by catching so many of these things. Like I took Pokemon who were level 12, like filled my party with them because I was like, well, I want to overlevel my main guys. They're all level 60.
60, Jesus.
Yeah. So I have, like, you know, my Venusaur and my Blastoise all maxed out. I'm like, okay, well, good. Then the whole integration with Pokemon Go is actually pretty cool. I know you were poo-pooing it before.
Well, no, that's just not how I play these games. Like, to me, it's like, I was never somebody who would, like, transfer my Pokemon from the last game to this game. Like, to me, the fun of it is, like, starting off literally as like a young kid going out and like kind of catching Pokemon and like trying your best to make a team out of it, you know?
There were a few like I had extra, like I only send the Pokemon over who have like the good stats in Pokemon Go, and if I had extra of them.
Uh-huh.
I also had like an Alola Grimer that I got in Go. I had two of them actually, so I sent one of those over. But the big thing you do is once you've done a transfer, you get an item in Pokemon Go called a mystery box. Open that, and for 30 minutes, the new mythical Pokemon, Meltan, will appear at a higher frequency.
Yeah.
Or at all, really. You need 400 Meltan candies to evolve it. You can only evolve it in Pokemon Go. So, and you can only open a mystery box once every 7 days. So basically, you need to like have that half hour, where you're like, okay, I'm playing Pokemon Go for half an hour, and catch as many as you can, use the berry that gives you more candies per capture, and just go at it. So, I think I ended up with like 40-some candies. So, you know, 10 more weeks and I'll have this new Pokemon.
Fun stuff.
But yeah, I mean, it's such a joy to play. It looks really great.
It looks cool. It is kind of fun seeing, like, you know, like a Pokemon game kind of just like looking like it's on a modern Nintendo system, right?
I love, like, you know, you can ride, you know, I'm flying on the back of my Charizard. I'm surfing on the back of my Lapras, all that good stuff. My Pikachu is wearing a very smart blazer vest kind of thing with a ball cap.
Very nice.
Yes.
I mean, I am at the point where I actually hope the next Pokemon game, like the quote-unquote real one, like does use some of this
like
stuff.
This, yeah.
Well, at the very least, even if they don't want to have like the Pokemon Go style capturing, I hope the Pokemon still show up.
Like,
in
like
the
no
field.
More random battles.
Yeah, because it really is.
That makes such a big difference.
It's nice, because, I mean, if you want to get them, get them. And, I mean, it's just saving you money from buying those repels and stuff.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this game is phenomenal,
yeah,
and I love
it's
it.
Super fun.
A lot. Who knew?
Yeah,
who knew?
It's going to make $1 zillion.
It's just nice, because, like, I thought I was done with Pokemon. I really did.
I know, because, like,
Sun and Moon. Fell off Sun and Moon real quick. I never played the Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon or whatever.
Oh, yeah, those are a thing, huh?
Yeah, like I never even touched those. And then knowing that this is going to be, like, the dumbed down one, I was like, oh, man, I'm just done Pokemon, and here I am, like, loving this game. So, I think it shows me, I like the core Pokemon, and then, like, all the chaff they added to it.
Yeah, something, there's just a little too much happening. I mean, and it's weird, because, like, it's not so much as, like, making it complicated, but it was just kind of a lot of fat. Like, a lot of it, like...
It got in the way of the game.
Yeah, I didn't really do, like, that Pokemon aim a me or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, there's, like, I very basic version of that in this one where you pet Eevee.
It's more fun. It's more when my kids are watching me play. Go, okay, I'm on pet Pikachu, and they love it.
Right. But I think, like, in, like, Sun Moon or whichever one that was, like, you increase its stats if you pet it 5 times a day or something. I don't want to do that. All right. So the PlayStation Classic, it's actually not even out yet, but we can still talk about it because
You were one of the more favorable people toward it.
Yeah, people are rough on this thing.
Well,
man.
People are very upset about the whole PAL thing.
Which, yeah, I guess, I mean, if I saw that side by side, maybe I could see that, but I mean,
Again, we didn't play, like, a lot of the games are the PAL ones, like Tekken 3.
Yeah. We played it.
Not, like, back in the day.
So if you don't know, like, because of, like, the weird energy differences, like, those games are at different megahertz and they run differently a little.
Let me explain this.
Energies. Well, because they have the different plugs in Europe, you see.
Well, TVs in Europe use the PAL standard, which ran at 50 hertz. So that meant 50 frames per second was the maximum frame rate those TVs could do. But, you know, American TVs, NTSC, which is also Japan, ran at 60. Most games ran at 30 frames per second. Some ran at 60. And instead of trying to, like, step down the frame rate, which would have screwed the timing, because a lot of console games, the like, things like audio are tied to frame rate, they would literally just slow it down by the whatever percentage it is to get to 25 frames per second, which was half of 50.
Yeah.
So that literally meant the games are slower. That's why you never see speedrunners use a PAL release, because it's literally a slower game.
I mean, again, I feel like that's a thing... I mean, yeah, that I guess that's bad, and honestly, it's like, why? But, I mean, I wouldn't have noticed if I wasn't told it, you know? Yeah.
Also, Digital Foundry did, like, their whole performance test compared to, like, original PS1 hardware. Most of the games, like, don't hold their frame rate.
Oh, really?
Like, they dip into the mid-20s or low-20s if it's a PAL game. Well, which is weird. I mean, the games themselves are fine.
Yeah, it's fun. We actually had fun kind of playing it as, like... It's weird, because you don't think of PlayStation 1 as a big, like, multiplayer system.
Right.
We had a lot of fun just, like... None of these multiplayer games you would play for hours at a time, but it is kind of fun to, like, arcade style, like, go through them.
Yeah, I mean, here's my thing, that we did that once. We'll probably never do it again. And that thing costs $100.
It is a lot. It's certainly glad mine did not cost
money. I'm glad I canceled my pre-order and just played with yours for a night, because it's not worth $100. It's just not.
Well, so... Yeah, and the game library is weird. You know, 20 games, it's not much. The SNES Classic Edition was kind of able to get away with that because it put on a lot of heavy hitters. Yeah, like, pretty much all there.
Who's like, oh, thank God, Cool Borders 2.
Cool Borders 2 is awful, by the way.
Plus, and like you said in your review, you have Jumping Flash 2 is just that, but better. You had Twisted Metal. Twisted Metal 2 is just the better Twisted Metal. Like why not those?
There's like weird ones. Like, Rayman 1, really?
Yeah, do we really need to play that again? I think my toaster plays Rayman 1.
Right, like, I mean, Rayman 1's fine. I don't really want Rayman 1. But, I mean, you know, Metal Gear Solid 1 is still great. Bomba 7 is great. Like, the big surprise hit to me of this system has been Ridge Racer Type 4.
Ridge Racer Type 4 is so
good.
Because
I did not play that series. I'm like, oh, it's just some dumb racing game. It's probably aged really bad. That game is... super fun. It's super, like chill. It's really pleasant. Like, a great soundtrack. I thought that game was really impressive.
Yeah. I guess my other issue, too, especially when you get into PlayStation, if you're okay with the gray legality of it, you know, SNES emulator is kind of a SNES emulator. At this point, they all kind of work. They look the same. But, you know, you emulate these games on your computer or a Raspberry Pi, and you could, like, bump up the resolution to 1080p and stuff like that. And it's like... yeah, that's actually just better, isn't it? Like, maybe, this doesn't
do
it.
I don't know. I there's something about that original, not grainy, but you know what I mean. I mean, some people will just, like, can't handle that early polygonal look at all, and I kind of love it. Like, that was a lot of my fun.
It started to become, like, pixel graphics were 10 years ago, I think. I've seen a handful of indie games. I suspect we'll see more that use that style.
Yeah, I like that. I think it's a lot of fun. I know. I still had fun with it, man.
Yeah, it's fun. I just don't think it's worth $100.
No, it's a lot.
Not at all.
I mean, they think they could have done better. They could have.
There's so many better things to spend $100 on this holiday season.
Probably.
Unless you were like the world's biggest PlayStation fan and you want to play Metal Gear right now.
Yeah.
Like, that might be your best
bet. We had a lot of fun playing this. Remember when we played Battle Arena Toshinden?
I was more impressed with the soundtrack than that game.
Secret, just great soundtrack. Just go listen
to the soundtrack on YouTube, because it's pretty incredible.
Yeah, man. I thought it was fun. So, other than those, I've been playing more Red Dead. I'm definitely getting... It's like, the more I play the game, the more I do like it. While also accepting that I'll never maybe, like, super love it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is still just, like, janky in places, but man, is it...
I guess so much my problem with that game, and I haven't gone back to it in a little while now, which is only making it worse. It's so slow and things happen so infrequently. Like, something happens and you're like, I don't know the controls.
Right, I know what you mean.
I haven't done this in 4 hours. On,
like, the firefights happen so infrequently that, like, every 3 hours when there was one, I'd be like, how do I shoot this person?
Like, one of the last things I did, I think it was the last thing I did before I stopped playing that night, and it might be the last time I played. Like, I left my camp, I'm on my horse, I was, like, riding along, and then I get ambushed by a bunch of bandits. Like, there's Dutch's boy, and I'm like, whoa. Of course, like, I'm on the horse. I'm like, crap, what are, like, the janky-ass horse controls?
Yeah.
My horse just starts spinning in circles. I'm getting shot, and I just die. And I'm like, oh, stupid.
Yeah.
Like, I had no chance.
And there's a lot of, like, you push, like, that button to go into cover, and it's, like, he, like, tries to magnetize, and it's weird. Or, like, you, like, go to, like sit down by somebody, and Arthur will do this thing. He, like, walks next to the stump you want to sit down on, then, like, kind of walk around. Like, the character model's trying to get in the position.
I feel like they made an incredible experience, but they forgot to make a good game.
The experience is super fun. I mean,
there's even, like, weird things. Like, I think Grubb talked about this. Like in the beginning of the game, I'll be vague, but no, spoiler, not really. You're searching a house for food. And, like, he's, like, slowly opening each drawer, carefully shutting it.
No, like,
ransack the place. Pull it apart. Like,
what's weird,
weird
about
stuff like that.
It's weird how, like, it's almost like they set it up to be this kind of... a bit more of an open world game, right? Like they set up, like, here's a camp, we need money. So it's almost like, okay, so I just kind of have to go out, do my thing, earn money until a certain point, then maybe we move on to the next chapter. But it's not really that at all. It's just talk to the people with the yellow marker on them, so you do the main story missions, and you'll do that mission the same way as everyone else does, and you'll progress.
Right. I almost wish the game was, like, just linear. Like, just keep going.
I mean, you can. There are like a lot of weird things. It's like, to be immersive, like, you have to, like, get your weapons out of your horse, and they'll be stored on the horse. You can't just carry all your weapons with you. Mm. Like, some, like, then, like, missions will jump forward in a day or here and there, and then suddenly you don't have your weapons or this. Or, like, you can't whistle, and your horse won't just come from whatever. It has to be within range.
Yeah.
But, like, a mission will just drop you off far away from your horse sometimes. I'm like...
Yeah.
Well, right. Great. Well, I guess I'm walking or stealing a horse, which I don't want to do.
That's the other thing, too, I guess. It's kind of always a problem with Rockstar games. Like, there's not... aside from the fact that, this guy's in an outlaw gang, there's no call for him to be a complete dick all the time.
There's not.
And sometimes you just don't have a choice in the matter. I don't want
to
do that.
See, that hasn't been as bad as I thought, to be honest. That was my biggest fear going into the game, was that I didn't want to play the bad guy. And this time, like, you are straight up a gang member. You're in a gang. You're robbing people. You are killing people. And I thought I would have a bigger problem with that, but for some reason I don't. It's been done all right. There's kind of like an us or them morality that kind of works. Like, the gang stuff is good. Like, just walk around the camp, these kind of organic conversations that happen around you. That's really neat.
It's kind of like Assassin's Creed 3 for me. I like the homestead stuff.
Yeah.
Speaking of the antithesis of this game, so...
Well, I feel like I brought that game up to say I'm enjoying it, and then I just listed grievances.
Right.
I'm enjoying it now. I mean, I was, but I'm enjoying it more.
I know what you mean. But, so, I started in earnest, finally, Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I got it on my 1X half off during Black Friday, so $30, I was like, that's probably as good as it's going to get.
I'm glad you started this game before beating Red Dead or many other games.
Yes. It's real fun. Have you played it at all?
No.
You should play this game.
Not a second. I'm probably going to get it. I might try to get it for, like, my birthday or Christmas.
Yeah, it's real good.
Yeah, well...
Like, so you talk about, like...
Did you play Origin?
I did, and, like, I was playing through the game.
I don't like Origin.
And I was... Yeah, no.
Everyone liked that one, too.
I fell off it after about 6 hours, and
I
was like,
I got to Alexandria, did a couple things, and I'm like, all right.
I don't know what they did this one. I don't know if it's, like, even more, like, it almost has that BioWare game feel, where you're, like, talking to people and stuff, like, that part of it. I don't know if it's that or just the setting is better, like Egypt, or, you know, like Egypt was kind of like, it's okay, but it's all just a desert.
It is kind of empty-ish.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. Like this game is so vibrant, so beautiful, and also I'd really love to see the stats on how many people pick Alexios, the guy, and how many pick Cassandra. I feel like everyone I know is picking Cassandra, but that's like people.
Maybe all the 16-year-old boys are picking the guy.
That's,
I don't know.
That's my guess.
Right.
But she's such a good character. Like, it feels like that's who you should be playing as, honestly. But. So, like, okay, the horse whistling. This game, your horse could be on the moon.
See,
and you,
like,
whistle, and that horse appears behind you.
Yeah, it is, like, after you play Red Dead Redemption, it is nice to play, like, a Hitman or something like this, where...
It's a video game.
It's like, man, we're a video game.
Yeah. Yeah, when you loot, like, there's a chunk of rock. It's you push the Y button, she swipes vaguely towards the ground, you got some iron ore.
It's, you know,
like,
what? She's, it's like, fine.
Get out of mine pick and do this intricate animation of mining it. Yeah. Just grab
when you skin an animal, you don't literally have to, like, tear off the skin from the tendons of the muscle. It's like, you know, we get it.
But then, like, the game is set up, because it wants to be a video game, it lets you just do cool shit.
Yeah.
The horse, for example, if you whistle for the horse and you just keep running, the horse will eventually run up next to you and you just leap onto it.
Is it like the Legolas leap, or is it less elegant than that?
It's not quite the Legolas leap, but it's close. Mm-hmm. There's this, so all the abilities in the game, like one of the first ones I unlocked, where you zoom in real close with your arrow, and when you fire, you keep holding on the fire button, you steer. Like that kind of thing. Yeah. So, like, that's a thing. I'm like, okay, sweet. Then I get, like, the second tier of abilities. The one, it's just you throw your spear at a guy from, like pretty far distances. And, like, the camera follows the spear. And then you just appear behind the guy to finish assassinating them.
Hmm.
So, as long as it's, like, that's not a super strong guy.
Yeah.
When I level up, I put in, like, a chain. It kind of like Batman did with the takedowns.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, this is so fun. Like, you're just zipping around these areas, like, taking dudes out.
I'm going to try, because everyone seems to like it.
My biggest beef with the game, and I'd heard this, and it's true. They sell an XP boost for $10. You kind of need it.
That sucks. Well, you're not actually going to get it, are you?
I did. Well,
you fool.
I had $5 in free Xbox credit from my Bing rewards.
Oh, God.
But no, like, everyone is like, yeah, because, okay, so...
We don't need...
They have, it's like kind of the nemesis system.
Yeah.
It's with these mercenaries trying to get you. And the first mercenary you're up against, he's level 5. And this is a game where, like, if something is 2 levels higher than you, it will fuck you up.
See, that's like a thing I almost don't like.
Right. Which is why this XP boost helps that, because I went through a quest, I came out of this cave, I was level 4, and the level 5 guy just found me. Like, I didn't even know he was close. Like, this music note hit, and I go, what was that? Oh, crap! So I had to fight this guy. And, I mean, I barely beat him. And I was a level below him.
Aren't there things you can do to just level up? Like, grind?
Yeah, but again, I was just doing the quest. Like, he just showed up.
No.
So, if I didn't have that boost, I would have been level 3. So possibly level 2.
Yeah, like, I like the addition of a lot of RPG elements, but I don't like the idea that, like, enemies in this place are, like, going to be this level and you can't fight them. Like, level scaling can also have problems. Like, even in World of Warcraft, like, the level scaling could be kind of rough. In that now, because it's like you're like past, you hit the level cap because of level scaling, it's like harder all of a sudden.
Yeah.
So, like, I think it's good for enemies to feel weaker than you, but it's kind of weird to, like, hit a roadblock like that where it's not a skill thing, it's just you're not the level.
It wouldn't be so bad if it wasn't the fact that this is like a random enemy who's roaming the map looking for you. And like I said, I had no agency.
Isn't there like a suggested level for like quests?
Quests, yeah. So, like, that's fine if you know what you're getting into.
We'll see. I can tell you what, if it comes down to I have to buy a level boost, I will just not play the game anymore. I wouldn't buy it like you did.
I mean, again, it helps too that I got the game for half price, so the extra.
See, you always spend money. It is a net. You are spending money. You always just like, whoa, I saved money here.
Yeah.
You are the ultimate. I don't want to lose money on this deal, guy.
That's right.
You did lose money. You spent $5. You didn't need to.
I know.
All right. Whatever.
A really good game.
Well, I'm not gonna touch it until I beat Red Dead, because unlike you, I like to finish the games.
Uh-huh.
You see. Are you ready to accept that Fallout 76 is garbage yet?
No. I totally understand all the hate. I totally get it. I understand why 98% of people hate this game. I enjoy it when I play it. It's very relaxing for me. I just like wandering around and finding shit.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what. It seems like it might... I wonder if it's going to be an outright disaster for Bethesda.
It sounds like it could be.
Like,
because here's the problem now. Like, no one's liking it. It's going to not have a strong player base. But, like, they promised all the support for it, so the people who did buy it, like, you can't leave
them
hanging.
Can you imagine if you work at Bethesda and you're told, you have to fix Fallout 76 instead of work on these two new cool games?
Yeah. And everyone wants to, the comparison wants to draw is Elder Scrolls Online. Because that game had, like, kind of a rough start, but it's in a pretty good place right now. But the difference there is, like, that was a new engine, a new dev team, really a pretty different game from Skyrim. Yeah. This is just Fallout 4 with a multiplayer mode. Like, you can't change that.
I mean, I guess you can just suddenly put NPCs in after all. I don't know.
Yeah, well, no, I don't think that's not my issue with the game. It's just
it's so janky.
Fundamentally comes down to their gunplay just isn't that good.
No, the gunplay is not good.
It's just not. I mean, sniping is kind of fun. That's what I always like in that game.
I would so much rather just play Destiny 2 again right now.
I would never play that game with like a submachine gun.
No, like what? Yeah, what?
Yeah, you get a rifle. That's what you do, you know? Or a melee weapon?
It seems...
No.
I think this is going to damage the Bethesda brand. I feel like I should have seen it coming. I think it is.
Fine. Once they show the first trailer for Starlink and everyone shits
Starlink
their pants...
Starlink is the game you play.
Ha, that's why... What's their... Starforge?
No?
That's something else. That's that card game, which is on my list.
It's generic sounding, but it's their sci-fi game. I tell you what, that thing has to come out, and it has to technically look impressive.
Yeah, I know there's, like, this controversy, because, like, there's this whole thing, what is an engine?
I almost feel like some people are, like, misconstruing that. Look, people are just saying Fallout 76 looks bad and has a lot of bugs. Like, if they're saying that the engine is bad, and maybe they're technically wrong, that's fine, but you know what they mean.
Yeah, what they also mean is, like, Fallout 76 and Fallout 3, aside from, like, the god rays... aren't too dissimilar in, like, their animations. Like, they need a refresh. The games need to feel a little fresher.
They need to do something pretty substantial here.
Evolutionary,
and I mean, it's also clear that, like, a lot of the tech they're building off of is bad. I mean, I don't, like, you know, don't want to call it an engine or whatever. But these games all are much more buggy than, like, other AAA open-world games. Those games are often buggy.
Right.
Like, Red Dead Redemption 2, you know, say you will. There are not very many bugs in it. Right. It can be janky, but there's not a lot of straight up bugs, you know?
And I mean, I guess, you know my love of Bethesda. But why is, like, every time they release a game, the character models look like ass. And then within a month, there's, like, a fan mod that just makes everything look better.
Yeah, it's like,
why don't you guys just do that?
I used to make the character models better.
I'm hoping, especially with between that and Elder Scrolls 6, we finally get that leap.
We'll see.
Because I feel like we didn't get... I mean, really, when you think about this generation, we just got Fallout 4 and Fallout 76, which is derivative of that. We haven't really gotten
anything 4, crazy new just from them. The Skyrim, like, a Fallout kind of thing.
But even, like, Skyrim and Oblivion feel pretty different from a gameplay point of view.
No, those games are different enough, and there's enough of a...
Right, there was enough of a leap. Enough of a leap. 3 to 4 didn't have that. Which might be why I never really...
4's worse. It has that. So that's good. There's your leap. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I mean, here's the thing. If in a year they made Fallout 76 good, I mean, at what point are we like, oh, you did it too. Congratulations on releasing a bad game and then eventually making it okay. Like, at what point are we just like, we're not celebrating that anymore.
Yeah, I do.
Because we did it with Destiny 1, got that pass. Destiny 2 got that pass. No Man's Sky got that pass. ESO now got that pass. Like, all these things.
I just
don't
understand who Bethesda was like, this is what we need to do. Like, I don't know if they, like, wanted to, like, use this as just, like, practice
for
something.
It is weird,
a multiplayer
considering
game.
They already have these two very big projects. Their tools, if we don't want to use the word engine, could clearly use some work. It is strange that at that point they're like, let's make a multiplayer Fallout game. Also, it won't be very good.
I wonder, like, if they realized, like, as this was getting close to release, like when it was too late, like, oh, this is
I guarantee work. You there were heated. I don't know. I'm just assuming. I'm assuming that there were heated discussions about we can't release this game, and then we have to release this game.
I mean, you know, they think it's a big deal. They had you in West Virginia at a on
location.
Well,
they promoted
event.
The big Bethesda game.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, yeah, and it's, you know, it sucks. I'm sure these people all mean well.
It was on sale a week after it came out.
Speaking of, so was Battlefield. Is Battlefield 5 out?
Oh, yeah.
Is that
It was
not...
confusing because, like, it had like the Origin Premier Access release and the EA Access release and then the proper release.
Yeah, is that bombing? Is that not? No one's talking about.
No one's talking about. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think it's a good sign.
Probably not. Honestly,
no one is talking about Battlefield 5.
It came out too late. You know what the funny thing is? I thought about this because everyone was like all weirded out that like Call of Duty wasn't coming out in November this year.
Yeah,
I think November is now the worst time to release a game, and here's why. First of all, because you have stuff kind of creeping earlier into the fall, you kind of get buried. But, and I think Fallout 76 kind of fell victim to this, everyone's so conditioned now for Black Friday sales that they just assume you're your game's going to be on sale for Black Friday. So if your game just came out a week before Black Friday,
maybe.
No one's going to buy your game for full price and they could get Spider-Man for $20.
I think both those games might have still sold fine if they were more compelling.
Yeah. Like Battlefield's good. It's just...
Battlefield 5 seems... I mean, even... I don't know. Even the reception seems to be fine.
Well, like, part of the problem, too, is it came out on the heels of what everyone's calling with the best Call of Duties ever made.
Yeah, it doesn't help.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially with Call of Duty, it launched with its Battle Royale mode. It's pretty good. And, like, Battlefield's is coming.
And that could actually help it, I feel like, in a weird way. That might give it a second shot in the arm when things quiet down.
Maybe. I mean, I think they're planning for that. They're hoping for it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, a lot of things were kind of going against Battlefield 5. I feel like the Black Ops 4 thing, the Battle Royale thing. I mean, the dumb controversy over like the way the game looked and the women. And that was stupid, but it was a factor. And then the other thing being just still Battlefront 2 backlash.
Yeah.
EA seems to be having a rough go of things in general. They can't make Star Wars games. Battlefield might be having an off year. I feel like I think the sports game's doing fine, but maybe slow. I don't know. Seems like rough. Hopefully that their Anthem does well.
Hits, yeah.
We'll see. Wait, what's up? How long have we been talking?
30 minutes, but I got more things.
30 minutes.
We've been recording really? 2 weeks, and I'm not mad, I'm just
wondering.
Okay. Usually, you're always like, 30 minutes. We're gonna be done.
No,
our time frame.
What do you want to talk about? God.
Okay.
I'm gonna beat you up. That's the rest of the show.
I got the messenger.
What?
The Messenger.
Oh, I like that game.
The game's awesome. I mean,
you
I
just
knew
now
it was.
Got it?
Yeah, it was on sale for Black Friday, and it had like...
I always forget the game's called that.
Yeah, I had like $11 in like the Switch coins, so I was like, oh, sweet, I'm going to get this for $3. Yeah, it's super good.
How far are you?
I just played like the first two levels so far. Just started it, but...
The whole mechanic of like... You can only double jump if you hit something with your sword while you're in midair.
Oh,
it's super fun.
When you pull off a good combo of that, you feel like such a badass. It's so elegant.
Yeah.
It's just a fun game. And the writing is really good.
Yeah, it's very much like Shovel Knight, and it's like one of those like 8-bit plus looking games.
Yeah.
Where it's like, it looks 8-bit, but it's kind of doing more impressive things with the colors and lighting and, well, not lighting, but you know, like the art of it.
Yeah.
It's more than actually could have been done on an NES.
Right. But in your head, you think this could have worked on an NES.
Right. Yeah, the music. Yeah. It's actually also kind of funny, like the shopkeeper.
Yeah, like I said, the writing's great.
Yeah. But I really liked that game quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah, it's real, real good.
There were a lot of really good, just fun indie games to play on the Switch this year, which was kind of good because there weren't a lot of first-party games this year until Pokemon now.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I think Nintendo's back on top, and I couldn't be happier.
They had
not like sales-wise because PlayStation's so dominant
They had a giant Black Friday.
But in my heart, Nintendo's kind of the console to beat now, and that hasn't been the case in a long-ass time.
Well, I mean, the Wii wasn't that long ago. It's weird how we almost don't, like, that seems longer than it was. But that was different.
I don't count the Wii.
Oh, ooh.
I mean, the Wii, yes, was a
huge
seller.
But I know what you mean.
I wasn't excited to play games on the Wii. I'm excited to play games on Switch. Warframe, which I started.
Yeah, I haven't started that yet.
I just played a mission, and I want to start it up. I can't believe how good it looks. It is identical graphically to the console version. It's just, it's 30 frames per second instead of 60. But it looks incredible. It's the full game. It's there on this portable system. It's amazing. Like, that's the way I'm going to play this game. I don't mind that it's not 4K in 60 frames or whatever. Because I can play it in bed or during my lunch break or whenever.
I've basically still been playing my Switch every night.
Mm-hmm.
I was playing Diablo 3 pretty much regularly. Now I'm playing Pokemon. And I'll probably just be playing that until Smash Bros. Comes out. Before that, there was like a train of indie games. With Celeste earlier in the year. Then I got... Remember that... I feel like people forgot about that now, but remember that Bloodstained Curse of the Moon game?
I haven't played it.
That game is super fun, too. Yeah. I love that game. Then you had The Messenger and, like, Yoko's Island Express. Dead Cells.
Let's not forget that... Octopath Traveler came out this summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a JRPG I liked. I mean, come on.
You liked it more than me.
I know.
Which was very strange to me. But, I mean, that still ultimately meant we played it about the same amount in the grand scheme of things.
I was playing it a lot, and then Diablo came out and completely derailed me.
Diablo's fun, though. I'm kind of excited for, like, that new season to start. I'll make, like, my new character.
Yeah, yeah, I'm pumped. Like,
I think it's funny how much less battery Pokemon takes than Diablo. Did you notice that?
I'm not killing my battery.
Yeah, like I noticed that one. I was like, I can only play like a couple hours of Diablo in bed at night.
Funny.
Then it'd be like, yeah, it is. Like, I almost don't quite understand.
No, it's just,
I kind of understand.
It's just pushing the hardware harder, so it gives more power.
Yes.
Like I said, I know we're early and this is all conjecture, but I'd love a Switch 2, like 2 years from now. That's just basically like has enough power to run handheld mode like it's dock mode.
See, I
have a 1080p screen and have better battery.
Everyone's talking about PlayStation 5 or Xbox 2 or whatever you want to call it. I don't understand why the next thing those guys wouldn't do is just
Xbox One X 2.
No, we'll just make like a PlayStation 4 that's like a Switch. Like you could do that.
You see this rumor of Sony patenting some new cartridge design.
Yeah,
as everyone thinking some new handle. But the thing is, like.
You don't make a separate handle system.
Yeah, we're past
Switch
that
has showed
now.
That.
We're past that.
Just
now.
Make a PlayStation.
Like, you can't make a Vita 2.
You can make a PlayStation 5 that was basically about like as strong as a PlayStation. Like in a couple years, make it as good as like a PlayStation 4 Plus. Maybe a little better at that point. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it's gonna be like. If you just made that like a Switch where it's portable, I mean, people are gonna gripe for a little bit. You're copying Nintendo, but so what? I feel like people are gonna be fine if that's just how like video game consoles work now.
Right.
But, you know, we'll see. It doesn't seem like, unlike some of the other things, it's clearly not like, the gimmick of it is just convenience. It's not like a gameplay gimmick, you know?
No, no.
It's not like anything you have to change the way you make your game for it, which is why it works.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then. You know, we saw Wreck-It Ralph 2. We should probably talk about that a little bit.
That was super good.
Yeah, I didn't like as much as Wreck-It Ralph 1.
No, Wreck-It Ralph 1's better.
I'd actually watched it again while I was putting my tree up. I put Wreck-It Ralph 1 on, and I still really love that movie. Yeah. Wreck-It Ralph 2 was super good. It was fun. It wasn't like, you know, there was some, like, fear of, like, I don't know, like, emoji moviness with it going the internet and being a little too, I don't know, pop culture-y. And there's certainly a little bit of that, but it works. And it's funny.
Yeah, they handle it well.
Mm-hmm. And, it's like, it's hard to say things about it without giving it away. But it was a sweet movie. It was a fun movie. And, you should see it.
Yeah.
It's also making a lot of money, so maybe we'll get some more Wreck-It Ralph stuff in the parks now. It is, like, a bit of a shame. Not a shame, but, like, I mean, Wreck-It Ralph 1 was all about video games, pretty much.
Well,
not really, because once you get the Candy Crush, it's kind of
like a candy parody movie.
And some people complained about that at the time. Right. And I guess this is kind of like that. Instead of candy, you have internet stuff.
Internet stuff, yeah.
Right, but you know what I mean.
So, one of my favorite things in the movie, you actually got up to go pee when this, like, started, but you were, like, walking down the steps when this came on screen. It's like you see two people's like in-game avatars, and they're moving like janky MMO characters.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
So good.
I did enjoy that.
It's the stuff like that I just love. And also, as you pointed out, no Nintendo characters in this one.
Yeah, not so much now.
You're gonna build a theme park to Universal, huh? Well, I guess you can't be in our movie anymore, Bowser.
Nintendo will get over. I mean, there isn't Illumination's literally making a Mario movie, also. So
yeah.
I can't imagine what that would look like. It was still shocking to me to see Detective Pikachu. I'm like, oh, that's what it looks like. This is actually a thing. Like, I can kind of imagine the Sonic movie now, because I think it's just going to kind of look like Detective Pikachu.
My kids and I watch the Detective Pikachu trailer every night before bed.
Oh, that's good.
Yes. It's hilarious.
Too bad they won't like the actual movie. It'll scare them.
They're all about Into the Spider-Verse, though. They love that trailer.
Really? Are they going to be able to watch that, you think?
Not in the theater, but once it comes home. Libby is very into Spider-Gwen.
Oh, that's cute.
Yes. And, that's nice. And the rumor is that she's getting her own movie next.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I'm actually really excited for that movie now.
Yeah, I think that's really
good.
Looks
really good. I think like the first reviews came out, I think, and everyone's very positive about it.
Yeah.
So, that'll be it.
Last thing I want to talk about, because we brought it up, Keyforge, which is the new collectible card game from the guy who made Magic, designed it.
Yeah.
I forget his name.
Magic McMagic.
Yeah, that guy. I love that
the
guy.
The classic.
The whole hook of this game, the big thing, is it's not... It's not a collectible card game in the sense you're buying booster packs and constructing decks. You just buy decks already made. But every single deck is completely unique.
Right.
They just have millions of possible combinations. I think it's like billions or something.
Trillions.
So you don't have to like worry about like, oh, this game's been out for 5 years. Everyone's got these huge collections. I can never compete. Just go buy a deck, and you have just as good a chance of winning as anybody else.
That's pretty cool.
The game itself, I like it even mechanically. So it's very interesting that there's no resource. Like, there's no mana or anything like that.
Right. So, I mean, still minion-based. Mm-hmm. Minion spells.
And you're also, you're not attacking your opponent. You're just trying to forge keys.
Right. And I mean, attacking, like, the other minions. Well, like, you need minions to forge keys. So, like, you want to attack other minions just to kind of keep yours alive, maybe.
Or just prevent your opponent from using your
minions. I mean, you know, we can go on about how it works. It's complicated, but it's interesting.
But the basic idea is each deck has three houses in it.
Yeah.
And each turn, you draw till you have six cards in your hand. You always have six cards. And you declare which house is active that turn. That's the only house you can use. So if you have a board full of, and I don't remember these names.
Red. Just say red.
Red. And you say, well, I'm doing blue. You can't do anything with those red cards on the board.
That is really neat.
It's really smart.
It is kind of funny, like, when you do play the physical card game, you do kind of miss the computer just telling you, like, if a thing works, like...
There's a lot of, like, trying to, like, interpret the rules.
Right,
and
there
stuff,
is a lot that, of that, and keeping track of the damage, like, oh, wait, I forgot to draw a card last turn.
And what I'm hoping is, because every deck's unique, and they all have, apparently you buy them, like, a QR code that you can scan eventually. I don't think it's out yet. You can scan it to an app so you could have your collection digitally.
Eventually, you made
it. Just make the digital version of the game where I could use like your collections in sync. And you can't spoof that in any way.
Spoof that. You see, Artifact came out today. Did you get that at all?
So I forgot it was going to cost $20.
Yeah,
and I'm like, do I want to pay $20?
What's weird because you pay $20 and then you still have to buy cards.
Yeah, that's the whole appeal of Dota 2 was that you got all the characters, you just bought cosmetics. I don't expect them to give
me
every card.
It is strange that it's not a free-to-play game.
Yeah, like, I don't understand why it's not free-to-play.
Gabe explained why when I remember
reading your interview and I thought, that doesn't make sense.
It didn't make much sense, no.
Like it wasn't like basically like we want people to understand this is like a real game and not some mobile
It was like
trash.
It was something about perceived value.
Yeah,
perceived
I perceive this as not being worth it for me to dabble in. Like, because...
we'll see.
I play Hearthstone every day. Am I really going to put the time into this? Like... if it was free, well, I'd try it. Maybe I'd like it. Maybe I'd play it more.
It is also complicated and different. You can't be certain you'll like it.
Yeah,
that's the thing, too.
It's really, like, I don't know if they'll do, like, a free play weekend here or something. Yeah, very odd decision. I don't think I'm ready to dump $20 into it. Especially, again, with everything else out right now.
Well, we'll see.
Also, the fact that it's not on my phone.
I mean, it will be.
Yeah, and maybe at that point, I'll be like, all right, let's see what this is. But then, what? Do I have to pay $20 for it on Steam and $20 for it on my iPhone? How's that going to work?
It would be weird, huh?
Yeah. Dumb. Whatever.
Wait, is that it?
I think so. That does it. Let's go trade some Pokemon.
All right.
Let me show you them.
Well, thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Join our Discord channel. Be sure to find all of our old episodes on with the Apples and the Googles and the...
just go to the website.
Yeah.
That's the easiest way to find old episodes.
That'll work. All right. Yeah. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week right here in the Explaining Barrel Podcast. Next week's birthday week for me.
Oh, good. That's right. Woo! Bye.